Hello, everybody. We've returned. It's Pixar's perspective once again.
Again.
And
this time, we got Soul.
Again,
yes, because it's not a first impression. We watched it again.
And now we've... After only a second watch through, we've already made up our minds about this film, and we're gonna tell you about it.
Yes, agreed.
I am the Wash.
I'm Random Bystander here.
I got my second vaccine shot yesterday.
Yay! I'm still worried about it.
So I want to make sure, because, you know, I got the shot, I'm a little out of it. I want to make sure I watch the right movie. We're talking about Cars 2 today, right?
Yes, so, of course.
So Lightning McQueen.
Wait, no! No! This is Cars 2, you dingus.
Yeah, you're right.
It's Mater, not Lightning.
Mater wants to become a piano player, but he dies. And then he has to go be a spy car in the afterlife.
I was gonna say I want to see, like, a Cars version of a piano, but we already fucking saw that in Cars 3, so never mind.
Oh, Lord.
All right, for real, we watched, after Luca, we watched Pete Doctor's final movie, Monsters, Inc.
And what a gem it is.
It's Soul. We watched Soul today.
Yeah, we watched Soul.
Well, Random watched it today.
I watched Soul today. You guys watched it like 2 days ahead.
Yes. I made sure I watched it before I got the shot.
And now we're going to talk about it. So, yeah.
So, as out of it as I am, I made it a point to re-listen to the original podcast. Because when I finished it, I felt a little differently about some things. And I remember when we revisited Toy Story 4. We started with the ending because that was the biggest point of contention. And I think, I'm pretty sure, because I was complaining about the ending a lot, so do we want to start there? I was complaining about Joe a lot. Do we want to start with him? Like, what do we want
to
do?
I actually think that's because I probably should have re-listened to the Soul episode because I forgot a lot of my own points.
I've forgotten my own points,
so
too.
I only remember you two really liked it, and I had a lot of complaints, but I also really liked it. But there were just things that bothered me.
I do remember, I remember agreeing with some of your complaints, especially with 22, I think it was.
Or Joe, yeah.
But actually, what you were saying earlier, like, I think that's a good point to start is the ending.
What do we think of it? Well, okay, where do we want to start? Do we want to start with,
where
like
in
22
the
going to Earth, or do we want to start with Joe possibly dying on the piano? You know what? I watched that. I was really getting into it. And then he was in The Great Beyond. And I'm like, God, this is crawling back into my mind again. He died on the piano. This makes no sense.
I forgot about that again.
I just want to see that animated.
Because I remember, like, I was really, watch the original episode. But yeah. I was really thinking something along the lines of, you know, this, he actually does. Kinda, there is a feeling of emptiness in him. So him doing something, you know, pretty bad, that's fine. But they make it a point that he gets to where 22 is, the Soul world or whatever, because he gets in the zone, and then he doesn't leave the zone. So he just dies playing the piano.
He died doing what he loved.
He died doing what he loved.
He died like, doing what kinda... he loved, dying.
Yeah, I mean, he did it like 3 times.
It's very true. That would be his 3rd time in death.
But, so that point aside, I could just never get that out of my head. I was doing a pretty good job until he was about to accept his death, and I'm like, wait, how do we get to the piano from this? But what were your 2's thoughts on the ending of Soul?
Okay, I'll start with Random because I feel like they talked too much during the Don't Look.
I liked it.
Is it you really like what they were going for, but you had some problems with the execution? Is that it?
Yeah, that seems about accurate.
Okay, so what were your problems? Cause my problems is that things don't line up 100% perfect. But for real, what were your problems?
I don't know. It just didn't feel as satisfying as it would be. Like, I felt like the ending emotional moment that we got, usually see the end of Pixar films, we got when he was reliving his life.
I agree.
And then it's just like, oh, wait, 22 is a thing. don't forget about that. And this that whole ending climax just feels kind of forced. And I'm like, oh, you live. Like, I hate to sound like I want to rewrite the movie, but I don't.
The problem
it would have been
like,
more powerful
love,
if he died. It would have been more powerful if he died.
Yeah.
So my,
I know why they didn't do it.
Yeah,
but like,
I mean, but like, if it's PG, then I mean, obviously, you know, 2-year-olds can watch PG movies now. Like anything's game. But you know, if it's PG, then I figure, like, maybe they could have gotten away with it. Maybe. And I know it is PG because nothing's rated G anymore.
Yeah. It is, but it's just like, it didn't feel as powerful. Just like, oh, you get to live. Here you go. And then it just goes to like, I'm going to live my life every day like it's my last or whatever the fuck.
So what do you plan to do when you get back? Plan to start living. So.
Yeah, and it just feels like meh.
So what I will say is that upon this second watch through, I was also thinking about like the. It's definitely like super clunky how they're the reason is like, hey, you really inspired us, and we don't learn stuff much around here, I guess.
I mean, that's literally what they say.
You really inspired us, so we're willing to give you another shot and also distract Terry from counting.
That, you know what? Rewatching the last episode, I think Random said this as well, but definitely Wash and I both said if there's one thing that we wouldn't change about the ending, it's that.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Like, that's the only reason I would want them to keep the ending as it is, because they just like, oh, just distract Terry so easily. Like,
I love the idea of, again, just someone who thinks they're so great at their job, but they actually suck at it.
Especially the award ceremony that that they give him at his request. What I was gonna say is that I definitely agree that the implementation of that ending was very clunky. But upon second watch through, I forget if I actually said this during the first episode. I don't think I agree that based on what the vast majority of this film was doing, I don't think I agree that the satisfying ending would have been for Joe to die, because that was, I mean, like we said, he's gonna spend every day like it's his last, because right up until the end, so much of this was about like yearning for his big break, yearning for that big moment, where as soon as this big moment happens, his life is, he's done it. He's made it big, and he can finally be happy. And then he gets the thing, and he realizes that he's still lonely. He still doesn't have many friends. And I was talking with a friend about this yesterday, and just like the big thing with that sort of like, oh, if only I got my big break, if only I had this and that, when like the core of that, the core reason, like, if you actually think about why you want that, the core reason for that is, I just want people to like me. I just want people to have like friends and stuff. And it really wasn't until 22 came along where he actually got to learn about the barber, and he got to learn more about like Connie, and just not take things for granted and not be so self-centered as he was for so much of this. It's hard for me to figure out how to rewrite this in a way where they can satisfyingly give him send him back. Because
I've got a very easy change. And
go
this
ahead.
Actually keeps the movie the way that it is. When Joe is about to get to the Great Beyond, it's after 22 goes to Earth, he's about to enter the Great Beyond, show reluctance that he still wants to live. Not pure acceptance and readiness that he is going to die. He accepted, despite everything that happened in the movie, because what I get from that is that what he got out of life was, you know, he did all the things that he thought he wanted to do, but was really like that bond that he got with 22. That's what gave him, that's what, you know, ultimately, you know, made him happy, and he got that. He lived his life. You know, he got you know, he got the gig, he made someone happy, and that made him feel joy. Like, he got what he wanted. And he was ready to go. And then they were like, oh, Terry, what's that? And he got to go back to life. So if you show him going to the Great Beyond and him just not looking ready, then that changes everything, because that's like, now that I have these things, you know, it's too late. Too bad that I couldn't actually live my life. That's too bad.
See, the trouble with that is that it kind of goes against the, like, for lack of a better term, like, the symmetry of the story, because then he's right back to where he started. It's just that the reason that he wanted to leave the Great Beyond had changed, but he's still right back. It's still that right back where he started, where he was trying to escape the Great Beyond, and he's still. So him being reluctant,
well,
I didn't say
run away. I said, like, reluctance, or just like that moment of like, well, shoot, that's too bad. Mm. And then after that, he says that is when he could come to the realization. So it's like he's doing a selfless act. He's not trying to leave the Great Beyond because he's scared. He's like, I gotta live. It's just like, darn, you know, it's too bad. I finally got started to live my life. That's too bad, but I'm ready. And then the Jerry comes and says, you know, you really impressed us. We're going to give you one more shot. I feel like that would change. And you don't even have to add anything. You just kind of change the look on his face before he closes his eyes. Like, so, just like a look of like, maybe like a look of panic, some deep breaths. And then he calms, closes his eyes, and then they prank Terry. That's just something. Doesn't have to exactly be that, but just something very simple.
That's it. That's actually good. That's not okay. I wasn't on board with you, but like when you're saying just like a pained response, a pained expression that goes into calm, I think that could have worked quite well. That sort of conflict about his essentially is his sacrifice, because he sacrificed himself for 22. So just having like a pained response, pained reaction. Wait, hold on. I just realized we basically just reinvented the Toy Story 3 ending.
Well, this ending's a lot better because it's watch the Toy Story 3 episode.
Woody's my best friend. Take care of him for me. Joe Gardner is my best friend. Take care of him for me, Great Beyond. Up in the Great Beyond.
Oh no, George Gardner. Look out, Joe Gardner. It's the evil Dr. Porkchops.
that's my two cents. If I had to rewrite it, that's my two cents. It's not even rewriting. It's literally just like it's like you're stuffing food, right?
Yeah.
Like, it makes it better, but you're not really changing anything about the food.
Okay. Pretty much.
Okay, that's very... I blame the tiredness for specifically using the word better. That's very, what do you call it? Pretentious, I guess?
Mm.
But you get what I'm saying.
Throughout the whole watching the movie, I was, like, into it and then out of it. Many different times. I was into it when the jazz music played. Out of it when he first got into the human world.
Way beyond.
Yeah, the great before.
The great before.
Into it when we're learning about, like, into the zone and stuff and like, having some fun jokes. Out of it when he becomes a cat and they're trying to guide 22 throughout the body. Into it when they're learning about everybody and such and, like, we're discovering, like, the more simple things in life. Out of it when they go back to the world and they start the cliche of them being angry at each other because of some dumb, stupid plot thread of, oh, the only reason you're felt spark is because you were in my body. Into it when that whole concert and ending moment happened, I mean, especially with like the speech of like the fish looking for the ocean when they're in water and they are in the ocean. And then him experiencing playing the piano with the moment where he relives memories of his life. Out of it when the whole climax happens when they're trying to save 22. And I just kept going in and out of interest with this one. I don't know if I just was in the wrong frame of mind when watching this, or...
See, it's funny because I remember being the least enthused of us when we first watched it. Mm-hmm. When I had watched it, I watched it a bit late at night. I wasn't, like, super tired. But it was later in the day where I wasn't thinking as much as I was the first time. And I'm watching it, and I'm like, I'm getting into it, not really thinking about anything. So I guess on like a surface level, the movie works, but it's once I put it down, I was like, you know, I had a lot of problems, I remember. And I listened to the episode, and it's like, nope, all these problems, they're just like coming, they're all coming back.
Yeah.
And I specifically remember Wash saying, like, well, maybe you should just, like, it was Wash or you at random, I don't remember which one, but somebody said, maybe you shouldn't think about it so much. And my response was, but the whole point of the movie is to make you think.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the whole point of Pixar's perspective is to make you think.
Well, yeah, that's fair, but, like, Soul specifically, like, I mean, I'm not gonna...
It's a very intellectual
movie. I don't want to spoil my rankings, but it's, like, something like Cars works... Okay, I will spoil my ranking. Something like Cars works better because it isn't, like, a fully intellectual movie. It is much more just kind of being about the little moments and how those make you feel. So for something like Cars, yeah, it doesn't make sense that cars can get tattoos. But I'm not bothered by that because the movie's just not actively making me think so much about it. With Soul, because it's just like, oh, pick all these pieces apart. Kind of like how, I know this is going to sound super weird, but like how I got out of Luca when it was just like, oh, look at all this little stuff. At least my first impressions. And then here it's actually like in the forefront. It's not like this little stuff. I mean, they don't spell it out to you, but it's like, you know, look at all this meat that you can pick apart. You're like, oh, nice, that's so good. And then you bite into the meat, and you're like, this is, like, the most mid-tier meat I've ever bitten into. And, I mean, yeah. I think the movie's better than mid-tier. It's just, like, there are problems. Yeah. There are
problems. It's just, like, the more you think about it, it's just, like, it seems kind of cluttered.
Okay.
It's just so upsetting, because when the movie's, like, good, it is legitimately, like...
It's so good.
It is legitimately, like, some of the best moments I've seen for the podcast. Like, forget Pixar. Forget Pixar. Like, anime, Edgar Wright, Star Kid, Pixar, one-offs, like, our YouTube videos, like, everything.
But well, our YouTube videos, come on. Like...
I know that's a high bar.
Nothing beats, Amiibo Festival and...
Curse you, metric system!
Anyway. Yeah, so I guess this opened up the, like, more imperfections of the film for me the second time. Like, I still think it's great, and when it shines, it shines. Like, especially when, with the music. Like, my God.
Yes.
I want
yes.
this soundtrack.
Oh, God. Yeah, I remember. Okay, if we did not get the... If we talked about the soundtrack last time, we didn't talk enough about the soundtrack. I would...
I do know that the Nine Inch Nails person was one of the composers.
That's Trent Reznor, yes, and Atticus Ross, both of them from The Social Network, which also has a astounding soundtrack. I love both sides of the soundtrack here, but the Trent Reznor stuff, especially the theme for Terrier. That it sounds like a ticking clock. So good.
Yeah, I agree. Fantastic music. I think they're both Pete Docter films, so it's fine, but I'm pretty sure the consensus was either that, well, Coco, I guess, but ignoring the musical, the best soundtrack was either Up or Inside Out. I'm willing to say it's neither of those, and I'm willing to say that it's Soul now.
I'm willing to say like this is far surpasses Inside Out for me. Like,
it was Inside Out or Up, I remember, and like I said, like, they're all
I think
doctor,
it was Up. I think but, it was Up for me that, like, that one was just high tier music. But this one, yeah, good God, like Trent Reznor, it's so weird that his career is so weird. Like, he's the Nine Inch Nails guy, he's the old town road guy, and now he's the Soul guy. He's the Pixar
and I'll be honest, like, I know Random's gonna, like, come to my house and beat me up, but, like, I like the soundtrack more than Coco's, I'll say that.
They're both different in different ways. As a piano guy,
like,
Coco,
Coco's, like, song, like, the chorus song is amazing. When I think of the music, I think, like, oh, yeah, you know, that's really good. Not, like, especially what Wash was talking about with, like, Terry's theme and the jazz theme of New York City just that, like, ambience feeling that you get. Or when the opening title was playing, that, like, boop, 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 like, that kind.
Yeah, that's playing. It's, like, it starts like Portal 2, the...
Yeah.
I like the songs in Coco more, but I will admit the instrumental, especially the piano scenes for me. Like, the whole, like, whenever you hear, like, the jazzy piano in, like, whether it be flashbacks from Joe or when Joe plays with the band.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Yeah, yeah. Both Trent Reznor and John Batiste knocked it out of the park completely. Like, it's just such a good soundtrack.
Yeah.
So, what else?
Ending in the Kirby, what did you think of 22 this time?
Not 22. That's so frustrating, because when they're on Earth and she's in there in Joe's body, like, I mean, my problem with the whole Cat is Joe and Joe is 22 thing is Joe. But 22, it's like, you know, it's fine. And she they're getting to appreciate the world. And it's like this really great insight into the character and leads perfectly into their ultimate problems of having depression and stuff. But the character otherwise is very, like, the first part when they're in the soul world, like, that 22, it was just kind of, I mean, I liked the part where the Jerry was trying to get her, or whatever, them, I gotta shut up, but that's not really Jerry? 22, that was just because I like, okay, I still like the Jerrys, I still like them a lot, but I don't know, like, 22, it was a lot like what Random felt about the whole movie. There are just times where it's like, you know, I could really get into 22, but other times where it's just like, I'm out, and I am out.
And same goes with Joe. Like, there were times where I got him and understood him, and then there were times where I'm like, Joe, man.
Can I say something about Joe?
You don't like him, do you?
Well, can I, Ranted's gonna scream when he hears this, I'm sure. Joe really reminds me of Lightning McQueen in Cars 1.
Ooh.
It's a largely similar, like, he's not as, like, blatantly mean as Lightning is. Like, that, the oil scene, or I forget what the sponsorship.
The Rusties.
Rusties, yeah. There's
some
nothing
Cars
that
fan
bad.
You are.
Yeah, I know, right? I was like, the first movie, I swear! I played the fact scene! It's not that bad. But very similar journey, very similar problems.
Very, very similar, like, self-centeredness.
But especially, yeah.
Here's the thing.
Again, I think I mentioned this in the first episode, but when Connie was there to say that she quit, and he's so dismissive about it, I was just like, no! And then, like, 22 comes back in, and they're like, oh, she's really good at that. And Joe's like, yeah, of course she wasn't going to quit. She's great at it. Like, I guess it's kind of supposed to be played off like he was just confident that she wasn't going to quit, and that's why he was dismissive of it, but it's like, no, that's not how this works. If somebody tells you that they're gonna quit, you don't just say, "Oh, you're not gonna quit. You'll be fine." Like, no. There's stuff like when he gets in the cat's body and he's just so mean towards 22. When 22 says, "I think I finally found my thing," he just gets so antagonistic.
That's just all regular living.
Oh, and I mean, like, I when he said it, he didn't mean it like, you know, rude or anything. He just meant it as it was. When 22 was like, no, I need to, I can find my spark. And he's just like, that's because you're in my body. Get back here. And he's just so, he has, again, like, Random, you put this very well when you said this. Very in and out. Very in and out.
But not inside and out.
No. But I even, you know, when I wasn't thinking too hard about it, I remember thinking, like, you know, Lightning McQueen was kind of like this. Like, not that rude, but Lightning McQueen kind of like this. Your defense, Wash.
My defense is a little movie called The World's End.
Oh my god. Oh because... no, are you going to say that he's Gary King?
He's not.
You're not helping your case, buddy.
Neither is Lightning McQueen nearly as bad as Gary King.
Yeah.
But this time around, I was actually taking this more as a character study than like him being a protagonist that we're rooting for in this case. Because this, like I was saying earlier, like his whole thing is just how like self-centered he is. Like how like he's at the Bible, you know, 22 just asked him questions about his life and he just has this. He had this preconception. It's like, oh, he was born to be a barber. It's like, I wanted to be a veterinarian. Like, But then, like, circumstances changed, and I had to, I went into to cutting hair, and I actually quite like it. I don't mind this at all. And then, like, later on, like, I'm glad we finally got to talk about something other than jazz. It is already, like, a preconception well before this movie had started that Joe talks a lot about his own dreams and talks a lot and just he's just so yes, it's probably similar to Lightning McQueen that he just focuses so much on the goal the I'm gonna win, and he just doesn't take the time to just enjoy life. Like the stuff with Connie, like he was really dismissive of it because he was just, I mean, for him it's just kind of like a day to day and just like, oh, here's another student out of the however many he's had since he's been working at the school. Like he wasn't seeking the joy that he already had, and this movie was 22 especially was trying to change that with the body swap. So I don't know. This worked quite well for me. I feel that it's like I said, it's more of a character study. I understand that Joe is self-centered. There's a lot of people that just have that those like creepy things that are like so in the zone that they just become like entrapped in their own mind.
Market trolls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a little too accurate, I think.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, honestly. Just add like a little special effect in there and you're set.
No, I didn't even use any. I was like,
well,
I didn't
yeah, that's
use
what
any...
I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, you put in a special effect, like, that's all you need.
Wash, edit a special effect when I do that. No, I didn't even need it. I didn't even need it. I didn't even use any.
So, yes, the only thing that I can really think to say to that, at least right now, because my brain scrambled, is one, you brought up the barbershop scene. I said in the first impressions that was my favorite part of the whole movie. Thrilled to report, it's still my favorite part of the movie. And
it's,
I guess,
so funny,
two, the only it was hilarious. We did not bring this joke up. When 22 is talking about how the great before worked, somebody looks at one of the lollipops and goes, I'll take one of those.
Yes.
I actually had to, like, stop. I was laughing so hard at that. But the only other thing that I can really think of, and again, I could probably think of something better, but this is fine, I guess. I don't think character studies are great for movies because... If a character isn't particularly likable, you're stuck with them being unlikable for most of the movie. It's not like a TV show where, oh, you finish an episode, you can kind of take a break, or something like Star Kid where they have intermissions. You're stuck. So having Joe have these moments of on and off. I know I talked about lulls a lot in, I believe, the finale with Guy Who Didn't Like Musicals, Trail to Oregon and stuff, where their lulls were great.
That I don't think has come out yet.
Edit this out. But anyway. So when you're stuck with a character like that, you know, as interesting and fascinating of a character study as can be, you know, if their rudeness is going to get to you, the rudeness is going to get to you. There's just nothing, no ifs, ands, or buts about that. You know, yeah. I always say this isn't like Luca where it's like, oh, let's talk about this. If you like it, that is fine. You're not wrong for liking it. I'm just also going to say this is a case where just because it's kind of movie this is, like, it is a very think kind of movie. Because I get what you're saying, and it makes sense, but because it's a movie, and we're stuck with him for basically the whole thing being, you know, not very pleasant, I wasn't crazy about it. Again, better than Lightning, but not anything I was particularly fond of.
I'm okay. Trying to think if there was anything else worth mentioning. Again, my favorite scenes were probably the scenes in the club. Not just by how they sounded with the jazz music, but also how they looked. Like that scene where we first see what's her name? Darlene
Williams.
What, Dorothea Williams?
Dorothea Williams, that's her name. Yep.
Dorothea Williams. Like that whole scene, the lighting and just like the lighting, the color correction, it just looks so good.
Yeah, it looked really good. Even the inside of the bar, very atmospheric. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. Like made you really think you were part of in a jazz club.
Yeah. It was just like the New York City bits really made you feel. This is a point I wanted to bring up. I was watching a YouTube video because we talked about so when Joe Gardiner wasn't black, he was in the Great Before. You know, we were talking about how it's like, oh, you know, it's marketable. It's kind of like, it's a problem. And I saw a video from multiple, actually, black YouTubers. And they were all kind of talking about what the movie meant to them as people of color. And they all said that their favorite part of the movie was the barbershop scene. And how it's places like barbershops where it's like, yeah, anybody can go to a place like this. But it really is, you know, like, for me, as that person of color, this is where I feel like I can make a lot of my connections, where we can talk to like-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking, and it's like, you know, that's super interesting. I just liked it because the scene was great. But I started thinking about it, and it's like, you know, did, like, how much of black culture was, you know, looked into going into this? Because from what I, looked into, like, you know, people of color really dug the New York City scene. Like, they thought it was, like, it was really good. So it's, you know, how much research did he do? And, you know, like, how much of his, I think Pete Docter's a good enough director to where I feel like, you know, he did his research and, you know, legitimately, like, talked to people that were involved with this kind of thing and, you know, made a product that everybody can really like. But it's just one of those things that got me thinking, like, huh, you know, that's really interesting. And I never would have thought of that because, you know, I'm like the whitest person you're ever going to meet.
Yeah.
I will clarify here, and I forget if we actually talked about this, but there is a co-director, Ken Powers, who is African American. The first.
Oh, okay.
The first African.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's right. He actually had like, it was kind of a, I remember when it was announced, it was just kind of like, it seemed kind of odd for Pixar that like, that would all the different people of color they have inside the studio, like, that like, they brought somebody from outside to work on this and give his own perspective. That said, like, I did watch, I only watched, like, because on Disney Plus, they have basically what would be, like, the bonus features on the DVD as a show for one of the episodes. They had Ken Powers talking about the barber scene, and he was talking about, like, he came in when the film was already well in production. So I have a feeling that that could be the sort of why sometimes the stuff in the great before and great beyond might be a bit more disconnected from that. With Ken Powers was talking about how they originally were just gonna just have him put on a suit and just go and try to go over there. But like, when he was looking at the character design, the first thing he thought of is like, this guy needs a fucking haircut. So and so he thought, it's like, oh, well, there we go. Like this, he's talking about how it's, like you said, with from different like black YouTubers, like that is a very specific community center. And the kind of connection that you have inside a barbershop, and he talks through like that it was important not just for in terms of story but also for helping to make Joe Gardner like feel authentically black in this case. Again, we're all pretty dang white, so that's as far as we can really go for that. But I will give a lot of props for Ken Powers, because I feel like the guidance that he's given to the project has worked quite well.
Yeah, I like the barbershop scene. It was nice.
I think I saw this in the first impressions, but my two favorite scenes were him at the barbershop and him talking to the mom.
Yeah. Oh, yes, that one.
Yeah, those are...
Especially
the two scenes complement each other very well. That's probably why. But those were, you know, when he specifically says, I'm just worried that if I were to die today, my life would amount to nothing. That's one of those, hitting close to home there, buddy.
Yep, I agree.
Joey, buddy, friend.
That was part of why I I feel that the him actually dying at the end would have changed the growth that he had gone through. But you know,
yeah, I don't know. Maybe because like his realization and stuff at 22 happened after that. Maybe that's why I don't feel the same way. But again, this is another one of those things where it's like, you know, there's so many different ways to think about the movie that I don't think there's really a right or wrong answer. There could have been a less clunky answer than what the movie gave us, but I don't think there's like a specific right or wrong.
Okay. I'm trying to think like what I could think of that I haven't discussed before. Like, there's one great line that I like where 22 acting as Joe Gardner is talking to Connie, and they talk about, like, as my mentor George Orwell said, state-sponsored education is like the rattling of a stick inside a swirl bucket. And see, the ruling class's core curriculum stifles dissent. It's the oldest trick in the book. And Connie's like, I've been saying that since the third grade. As I kind
of
speaking
of great one-liners, I know I said I still really love the Jerry's. Visuals aside, because obviously, visually, they're amazing.
Mm.
What did you two think of the Jerry's?
If we are gonna talk visuals, like, I'm so glad that I actually watched this on a 4K television this time. I feel like I feel like I absorbed myself into the movie far more than I did the first time around. And especially with just how this looks, and I don't feel like I got to just notice the details of the Jerry's, and especially the design of when their back is turned, they're still transparent through their own body. It's a two-dimensional design that still works in three dimensions. It doesn't feel out of place. It's not Roger Rabbit. It actually feels like it exists within this space. It's just like the simplest form that it could make that we could possibly comprehend. Random, what about you?
I don't know. They look cool. I mean, and they were funny. They were just Jerry. I don't really have much to say about them other than they looked cool and I liked how they were 2D in the 3D animated world. Especially when Terry got into the real world, that was really cool. How she would, like, interact and hide among everything. That was really cool. Like, when she's, like, in the heartbeat monitor, or, like, when she's, or on street signs, or in cracks on the sidewalk.
Or in
really
potato
cool.
chips.
The or potato chips.
When
stay away from
that,
processed foods.
Killed that guy by accident.
So I really liked when Joe Gardner was saying, you know, oh, I don't want to, you know, I'm not a mentor, you know, I'm not, this isn't my job. And the Jerry was like, oh, all right, well, you can die.
It's all right. You could just go back to the great beyond.
This is what I like about the Jerry so much. It's super, for a movie that, again, is like as intellectual, quote unquote, as this one, the Jerry's humor is just so simple. They're always so calm, but there's always like this mildly sassy tone to their voice in these.
Oh, yes.
That's what I like about the Jerry's. They're all acted great, very calm, very peaceful, collected. But, you know, they literally just told Joe Gardner, you know, if you're not going to work, die.
Especially
with Terry. They're like so passive aggressive.
That's Terry, yes. Oh, my God. The count is off. Oh, okay. That's weird.
Oh, Terry, if you think the count's off, why don't you go fix it?
I'm just saying it like so.
All right, I found out who the missing soul is. Congratulations.
Good for you. We're so proud of you.
We're
going to
give, here's a reward for Terry as you requested.
I'll be taking that,
thank you. when Joe.
Yeah, he takes the trophy back.
When Joe Gardner comes, it's so funny.
You were saying, Wash?
I mean, I was saying, like, especially, we mentioned him before, but especially Richard Ayoade, I believe how you pronounced it, like, he was my favorite of the bunch, with just how, like you said, there's that layer of sarcasm that's buried in 30 layers of sincerity. he sounds like he's voicing like an educational film. He's just so sincere.
Do you want to know what else is buried beneath 30 layers of sincerity?
The timer.
Oh, right.
Wow. Final thoughts.
Pixar perspective. Right. Kirby fan goes last.
I'll go first.
You go ahead.
It wasn't as good as I remembered it.
Oh.
It was still good, and I still had moments that I enjoyed it, but like I said, there were points where I was like, oh, this is really, really good. And there are points where I'm just like, all right, where's the fast forward button? And I'm just like, why? Can we skip this scene? Can we get to the barbershop? Can we get to the emotional moments? It's not a bad movie. Far from it. Not even in the slightest. I just think it's a little disorganized and all over the place when it comes to that. Not like Good Dinosaur all over the place where it's frustrating. But it's just where I'm just like, it's okay. I feel like a few more rewrites could have gotten it to, like, the high tier of Pixar, but it's also not low tier Pixar either. All right, Wash?
Yes, so I'll say I enjoyed this more than I did the first time. Definitely helped that I watched this on a larger monitor and I could just kind of just get more immersed in this. And just, like, how gorgeous it looks and how gorgeous it sounds. It sounds so wonderful. Again, we gotta get the freaking soundtrack. It's so good. This ranking, I feel, could change easily as I go along. It came at a very important time because, without going into too much, literally today was the last day that I've worked on this project that I've been working on for 3 years. I'm at that exact same spot that Joe Gardner is, like looking into myself and wanting to figure out what I'm going to be doing with my life and like what are my goals. This felt like therapy to me. I didn't have any of the bawling in the eyes that I did with Inside Out or Coco, but I had a real good time with this and just how it felt like therapy. Like it felt really, really important for where I am currently. Kirby fan.
Cars is better. All right, ranking time.
I knew it.
Wash, you have the lists, right?
So, good lord, it's been a while for me to say a list this long.
Yeah.
Oh, so, our ranking as of from the previous episode was, from the bottom up, Cars 2, then A Bug's Life, The Good Dinosaur, Cars 3, Ratatouille, Monsters University, Toy Story 3, Brave, Dory, Finding Dory, Incredibles 2, Toy Story 4, Onward, Toy Story 2, Cars, Toy Story 1, WALL-E, Monsters Incorporated, Up, Finding Nemo, Incredibles 1, Coco, and Inside Out. And I should mention that, where is it? We have a tie between Ratatouille, Monsters University, and Toy Story 2 and Cars. That it?
I thought there was a third.
Oh, and Toy Story 3 and Brave. That's right. We had back to back ties. That's how I missed it. So, I have Cars 2. Kirby has A Bug's Life. Random has The Good Dinosaur. I definitely think this is better than Cars 2. Kirby, is this better than A Bug's Life?
Yes.
Random, is this better than The Good Dinosaur?
Yes.
Okay. Moving on up. You and Kirby and Random both have Cars 2, and I have Cars 3. Kirby, is this better than Cars 2?
Yes.
Random, is this better than Cars 2?
Of course.
And I think it's better than Cars 3. Moving up. So, Random and I both have A Bug's Life, and Kirby Fan has Monsters University. I think it's better than A Bug's Life. Random, do you think it's better than A Bug's Life?
Yes.
Kirby, do you think this is better than Monsters University?
Yes.
Moving up. I have Brave. Kirby Fan has The Good Dinosaur. And Random has Cars 3. Random, is this better than Cars 3?
Yes.
Whoa.
Kirby Fan, is this better than The Good Dinosaur?
Yes.
And I think it's better than Brave. Moving up. I have A Good Dinosaur. Kirby Fan has Cars 3. And Random has Toy Story 3. Kirby Fan, is this better than Toy Story? Than Cars 3?
Toys? Yes.
I think it's better than The Good Dinosaur. Random, is it better than Toy Story 3?
Yes.
Okay. We're gonna get there, folks.
We are.
We are.
Remember with Coco when we were just, when you watch, actually, we're just like, can we go ahead? Can we skip some?
Well, that's the thing, is that based on your response, I don't know how far ahead to skip.
And I like it that way.
I gotta be unpredictable.
So, moving up, Random and I both have Ratatouille. Kirby Fan has Toy Story 4. Kirby Fan, is this better than Toy Story 4?
Yes.
Random, is this better than Ratatouille?
Yes.
I agree. Moving up, I have Toy Story 3. Kirby Fan has Ratatouille, and Random has Brave. I think it's better than Toy Story 3. Random, is this better than Brave?
Yes.
And Kirby, is this better than Ratatouille?
Yes.
Okay, moving on up. Random and I both have Monsters University, and Kirby Fan has Toy Story 3. I think this is better than Monsters University. Random, do you think this is better than Monsters University?
Yes, I do.
And Kirby Fan, is this better than Toy Story 3?
Yes.
Moving on up. Random and I both have... there's been a lot of Random and I. Random and I both have Finding Dory, and Kirby has Brave. Random, is this better than Finding Dory?
Yes. Yes.
Kirby Fan, is this better than Brave?
Yes.
And I agree with Random Bystander here.
What?
Shocker.
Moving on up, I have Incredibles 2. Random has Cars, and Kirby has a Finding Dory. I think this is better than Incredibles 2. Random, is this better than Cars?
I want to say I'm hesitating a bit, but I'm sorry, Kirby. It's better than Cars.
Is this a point in the list where you do start hesitating?
Technically, but also not really.
Okay, okay.
Do you want to elaborate since it's kind of, or?
Like, Cars is a good movie. Like, this is the point where I'm like, it went from movies I don't really care about and I can live without, and then now Cars is like, I like it, even though it's not the best. Mm. But, so this is the tier I think I'm entering, where it's like, I start to actually have to, like, really think about where it is.
Mm. Okay. I forgot if I asked, Kirby Fan, is this better than Finding Dory?
Yes.
Okay, and I think it's better than Incredibles 2. Moving up, I have Cars, which I don't remember ranking higher than Random, but there we go. Random has Onward, and Kirby Fan has Incredibles 2. I think this is better than Cars. Random, is it better than Onward?
Yes.
And
Kirby...
Ooh. Oh, was that actual hesitation?
It was getting there.
Okay.
Like, Cars was, like, 10%, Onward was like 25. No, it was 20%.
Okay, okay. I guess we'll elaborate more on that as we climb a bit higher. Kirby fan, is this better than Incredibles 2?
Yes.
And I think this is better than Cars. Moving up, Kirby fan and I both have Onward, and Random has Incredibles 2. Kirby fan, is this better than Onward?
This is where it got hard. Okay. That being said, if only because they were both really inconsistent. They both had a lot of stuff I really liked and stuff that I really didn't like. But at least Soul, you know, really made me think. Onward, as much as I liked certain stuff about it, you know, I put the movie down and I was like, you know, I enjoyed this. Because of that, I will say, yes, I think Onward is not the better movie.
Okay.
I had to save myself on that one. I meant to say Soul, and I said Onward. I'm like, oh god, how do I fix this?
Well, I definitely agree. This is still not the part where it gets tricky for me, but I definitely agree this is better than Onward. Random, is this better than Incredibles 2?
Yes, it is better than Incredibles 2.
Okay. What are we at? Like, are we at like 40% or what do you think?
Yeah, 40%.
Okay, okay. I think I'm getting the sense of where this is gonna be. So we'll climb a bit, and So here, all three of us, we've got matching rankings. All three of us have Toy Story 2. Let's start with Random. Is this better than Toy Story 2?
It jumped all the way to like 80 or 90 at this point. Fuck. No.
No.
I like Toy Story 2 better.
Okay. Let us do the elaboration.
Toy Story 2 seems more put together, and it doesn't have moments where I, not dread watching, but I'm just like, okay, let's get on with it. It's funnier. While I like the soundtrack in Soul more, I feel like the emotional moments in Toy Story 2 hit more, and I just like the idea of like, of the message Toy Story 2 does a bit more. It's also just more fun. It's a more fun movie.
Okay. Alright.
Yeah. All right. This might change, but as of now, yeah. I'm the first one to,
Soul
there.
Bon voyage as we continue on the list.
Now I listen to you two.
Yeah.
Also, I may have destroyed everyone has Toy Story 3 ranking now.
Well, the Toy Story 2.
Toy Story, whatever.
We'll see. Kirby fan, actually, I'll just say it. Yes, I think that Soul is better than Toy Story 2. Kirby fan, is Soul better than Toy Story 2?
Now, this one was a real barn burner. I wish I could plug in my blue snowball and talk about how I think Toy Story 2 is the funniest Pixar movie out of all of them, and how many freaking movies have fallen to Toy Story 2. Toy Story 2 is like the Pixar killer of Pixar. But Toy Story 2, it's too funny. It's way too funny with a way too good of a message, and freaking the Buzz Lightyear segments, they're so funny. I don't share this with Wash, however, Random, I am more than happy to share this opinion with you. I think Toy Story 2 is better than Soul.
Yeah! Now it's just Wash!
Now it's just Wash.
Yep.
Alright, Wash.
Since I'm all alone, I'll actually just keep skipping ahead, because you'd be surprised at how fucking far I get in this list.
Okay. Okay. Let me do it, actually. Let me help you out. Let me look at your ranking. We're at Toy Story 2 for you, right?
Yep. All
right. Do you think Soul is better than Toy Story 4?
Yes.
Next up is Toy Story 1. Do you think... Next up is WALL-E.
Yes.
Damn. Next is Monsters, Inc.?
Yeah.
No.
Next is Finding Nemo?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
No, okay. No. I know the answer to this one. You don't have to say it, Wash. The Fish Tank.
Is it... Okay, let me actually say this now, because we're getting to, the, like, the top five at this point.
Yeah, we are getting into it, aren't we?
Wash.
Yeah.
Next up is Up.
Uh-huh.
And is Soul better than Up?
This was the hard part. It was the... This
Not
was...
Monsters, Inc.? Where's the Wash I know?
Dude, you guys... Like, I've been keeping a bit quiet on this, like, with this episode. I love Soul. Like, I dug Soul so hard. I wasn't in, like, the balls and tearing, but, like, it spoke to me so much. And again, like, I really, really enjoyed, like, the character study of it. I thought it was phenomenal. And we're at a pretty similar point with Up, because it's a similar sort of thing with Carl Fredrickson, that we kind of understand what he went through, and what he has to do to get at this point. And he's just kind of realizing that he has to let go, and that's beautiful. And Soul is Joe Gardner being like self-centered and just like a single track. Like I gotta get the performance. It just kind of teases him to just blow the fuck down, which I enjoy, and I enjoyed that approach a lot more over Cars, weirdly. And it's a toss up, and this is what I'm saying, is that this could easily change later on, because like I was saying earlier, this movie hits me at a very personal point. I had it set up too, and then I was switching it back, and now I gotta look at this again and try to justify this as best as I can.
While Wash thinks about it, please remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/workinprogress.
We don't have that URL, random.
Well, we don't, but we will eventually, by the time this comes out.
Subscribe to the channel so we can get that URL.
Yes, please hit the subscribe button and like and leave a comment. We love comments, please. Also, we have a Twitter account as well. So you want to follow us on Twitter, go to look us up at WRKPodcast. On twitter.com. And we also have a Simplecast where we can watch where you can listen to us and talk and listen to all our episodes of Pixar Spective, Starkid Spotlight, CinemaSon, and That's About Right, and many more. So if you'd like to subscribe or listen to us some more, you can.
I forgot the SoundCloud again.
We don't have a SoundCloud. But speaking of sound, your rank?
You know what? We say, like, we don't have a SoundCloud, and then when I googled Pixar Spective, one of the results was the SoundCloud we made at one point that we never bothered to upload anything.
So we do have a SoundCloud.
How about that?
But literally, the only thing that's on there is, like, it's not even something that we uploaded. It's the 8-bit cover or 16-bit cover that we used for the Monsters, Inc. episode. That's literally the whole
thing. I sense someone stalling.
Yes, I'm stalling.
You think I'm stalling? What am I in, Crazy Town?
What am I in, The Great Beyond? oh god. I'll go with my gut for now, and I'll say, no, I think Up is slightly better. Yeah, you know what? Yes, I think Up is slightly better than Soul. I think what did it for me might be, and this is probably something that like when I rewatch, I might have to pay more attention to. But I suddenly was reminded of Russell, and the comparison of 22 and Russell is very apt. It worked really well. And I think I ultimately like Russell slightly more. They both have their annoyances. I think I like Russell slightly more than 22. But it's so close. And they both have amazing soundtracks. I love them to pieces. But yeah, we got a top five here.
I love how three out of your five top five are Pete Doctor films.
And none of them are Monsters, Inc.
Oh, damn. You right. You right.
Wash, you gotta swap Monsters, Inc. with, like, Coco or something to die.
Oh, I could swap Monsters, Inc. with Finding Nemo because of the fish tank.
Where's the lie, though?
Anyway, now yeah. Time for the overall rankings, because yes. You brought it up, but we probably brought it down.
Yes. So, let me make sure that this actually worked.
Also, this might have broken a few ties.
Maybe.
Or created more.
Not the back-to-back one, for sure.
We have a ranking.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, here we go. And whenever we get to Luca, we'll do this all over again.
Yep.
And then we'll have ranked 24 Pixar films.
24.
From the bottom up. Cars 2 at 5 points. A Bug's Life at 7 points. The Good Dinosaur at 10. Cars 3 at 11. Ratatouille at 19. Monsters University at 19. Toy Story 3 at 20. Brave at 20. Finding Dory at 28. Incredibles 2 at 33. Toy Story 4 at 35. Onward at 35. Cars at 40. Toy Story 2 at 41. Soul at 45. Toy Story 1 at 48. Wall-E at 50. Monsters, Inc. at 51. Finding Nemo at 58. Up at 58. We have the fourth tie.
Oh my god.
Incredible.
What a mess this list is.
Incredibles at 64, Coco at 65, Inside Out at 66. Four ties!
This list is such a mess.
And wait till we add Luca.
Oh my god.
That's gonna be, if it's anything like the first impressions, it's the same thing. Two lower down and one higher up.
I want for Luca is to somehow give us a three-way tie.
Ooh, I never thought about three-way tie.
It could happen.
Like cars, yeah.
Anyway, wow. Ooh. We'll do the Luca episode sometime in the future.
Yeah.
He gave Soul a good amount of time. Almost half a year, I think.
We're, as of our recording, like, this, it's been, like, half the year. If we do, like Kirby Fan says, then upload this after the Star Kid, then it will have been almost a full year with how long Star Kids will take.
Well, you said Higurashi would start in November, so that would be like a good month or two before that. So not quite.
We'll see.
We'll see because like we do have a good amount of one off in the future. But that does it. If you like this podcast, then you can listen to us on SoundCloud.com/PixarSpective.
Wait, there we go.
But we don't have a sound. We don't do anything on it.
It doesn't matter. We still have one. You've been wrong for your entire life.
Oh, well. But please do check us out and check out our other podcasts. Until then, I'm Random Bystander here.
I'm The Wash.
I got my second vaccine shot yesterday.
Good night, everybody. Wow, it's only been an hour and 15 minutes.